Richmond on 12.
12!
Hello, and welcome to the Lasso Personal Dilemma Squad.
You're so serious. We should be rejoicing.
Of course I'm serious. I'm seriously into season 3 of Ted Lasso. I'm Jim.
I'm Ellie. Yeah, so we're seriously into episode 1 of season 3.
Which is Smells Like... I'm sorry.
Smells Like Teen Spirit?
No. Smells Like Mean Spirit.
So we got a pun. Uh-oh.
Whoa, I dropped my beard.
Well, move him.
Coach Beard Funko Pop. Our little mascot.
That's right. So, yeah.
Yeah, so welcome back.
We've been on hiatus.
For a while.
Maybe you have too.
Slowly working our way through season 1.
That's right.
After doing season 2.
Right.
So we're going to take another break from season 1 and start doing the weekly season 3 with every new episode.
That's right. Because I pretty much predict that we'll watch season 3.
Yeah.
And then we'll go and we'll watch 1, 2, and 3 again.
Yeah. I predict that your prediction would be correct. So, all right.
Jim has been hard at work going through this.
Yes,
it was this episode with a fine tooth comb. So we're going to get started. Okay,
number one, you're at Heathrow Airport is where the scene takes place.
Right.
And it shows Ted's face. And as we know from the previous 2 seasons, the face you see in the very first scene is the one who will go through a change.
Right. Or the biggest change.
The biggest change in the season.
Right.
So it will be Ted.
Right. Season 1 was Rebecca. Season 2 was Nate.
And season three is Ted. And he is with Henry. And apparently we find out that Henry is going back to Kansas after spending 6 weeks with Ted in London.
Yep.
And it's interesting that Henry uses a Ted ism.
Yeah.
Tells him, don't look at other people's screens. And Henry says, amen, Big Ben.
Right. Right.
So that I thought it was pretty interesting. But you see, Ted is kind of, he's really bummed.
Right.
That Henry's leaving.
Yeah. And it's interesting because at first, when you see the phone.
Yeah.
And there a text comes through from Michelle.
Right.
It says, have a safe flight. Love you or whatever. At first, I thought she was telling Ted that she loved him.
Right. And that's the way they make it seem.
Yeah.
Like he's holding the phone and there's a picture of Henry on the phone. Henry feeding ducks.
Right.
So you think it's probably like Ted's phone, but it isn't.
Yep. So then he says, you got a text from your mom.
Yeah.
And so then they have to call him up to the Dubai Air desk.
Is that Dubai Air?
Well, I just assumed it was,
no,
but they aren't their big sponsor anymore.
No,
right?
Banter is their sponsor. That's the thing. It looked like almost like a generic, because I tried to look it up. I looked at a lot of logos of different airlines,
right.
And that is a generic logo.
Got it. All right.
Yeah, so like Banter and stuff. So it didn't seem like a real airline.
Right.
But he apologizes to the flight attendant.
Or the gate attendant. Or
the gate
attendant,
whatever she is. Who is waiting for Henry.
Mm-hmm.
So Ted apologizes to the gate attendant and says that Henry was trying to unlock Princess Peach on Super Smash Brothers.
Oh, right.
Which is a video game that had on Nintendo 64. And Princess Peach was actually a crossover. She was she was the Mario Brothers damsel in distress.
Oh.
And then in this game, I think she has more agency. And
okay, well, considering I never got above like level 2 or something on Mario Brothers, I never got that far.
and then the gate attendant says, "That's okay. I once held up a flight to Sydney playing Breath of the Wild." And Breath of the Wild was a Legend of Zelda game on Nintendo. Henry then gives Ted a Lego Premier League trophy. Then you see the next scene, Ted's in a taxi cab and he's talking to Dr. Sharon. You hear him in voiceover as he goes back to his apartment and starts cleaning all of the stuff that him and Henry... All the fun stuff, like... cereal bowls and a fork, you know, made with sheets and clothespins and the Legos all over the place.
Right.
And when he's talking to Dr. Sharon, he says he feels guilty that Henry's flying back alone. This is your first taste you get that Ted is wondering why he's still in London.
Right.
And not home with his kid.
Right. Got to be hard.
Yeah. And I think that's going to be answered in
the course of the season. Yeah.
Is that's the question.
Right. And so we're reminded that Dr. Sharon is no longer with the team.
Right.
And cuz he's trying to find out from her
what team she's working for.
Right.
And she says she can't say. And then he asks how many Australians are on the team. And she says 9. And he goes, oh, rugby. Yeah. Oh, and he asks her a personal question if she's dating anyone or whatever.
Right. And she says she declines to comment or something. He goes, oh, normally you just say no. So I'll take that as a yes or whatever. And over the course of this, he then arrives back at the training, or is that after? When does he, is he still talking to her when he's, isn't he still talking to her when he goes into the clubhouse?
Yeah, he's still talking to her up to the point where he goes into the clubhouse, because he's walking on the street and the old man gives him the finger.
Yeah, that's right.
The
wanker dude.
Oh, and he sees the kid the in kid. The stroller.
Yes.
Wearing the beanie hat. And he goes, I think I saw you on Leaky Diapers.
Right.
And
did you look up Peaky Blinders?
Of course I did.
Okay.
It's a British period drama created by Stephen Knight, set in Birmingham, England. It follows the exploits of the Peaky Blinders crime gang in a direct aftermath of the First World War. And they wear the hats. Those are called peaked hats.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And that's why they were called peakies, because of the hats.
Oh.
And blinder means someone who's like nattily dressed. So, you know, like.
So knocking you out.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. I didn't know that. Never seen Peaky Blinders.
And then when at the end, Dr. Sharon goes in the room and there's a hot guy in there waiting for her.
That's right. That's right. And a witty, sexy repartee ensues.
Then it cuts to Rebecca's office and she and Higgins are there and she's complaining that every sports writer and pundit are picking Richmond to finish last in 20th place in the Premier League year and get relegated again.
Right.
Then Ted comes in with the biscuits and Rebecca goes...
Yeah, oh, what, no rhyming
greeting from you? And he goes, way to notice, Norman Otis. Oh, Amos Otis.
Yeah.
And Amos Joseph Otis.
Oh, my God.
Was an American professional baseball player and coach. He played in Major League Baseball, and he played for the Cincinnati Royals.
Oh.
And other teams. So Rebecca says that they're picking Rupert over them, and he goes, Rupert's playing? Again, like the first season, she is becoming obsessed with Rupert again.
Right.
And.
Well, but in, yeah, to be fair, in the first season, he didn't have a competing team. So she was trying to self-destruct her own team.
Yeah.
To hurt him. And yep. Now she wants to compete with him and exactly. Crush him. Yeah. She wants to win. You know, you can't blame her.
So it cuts to the locker room and Isaac is reading that everyone.
All the blogs and stuff
picking them last. And Sam goes, who? And he goes, everybody. And he goes, Glenn Hoddle, Graham Souness, and Jermaine Jenness. And they were all former soccer players who became pundits and broadcasters.
Right.
So the Jan Maas says, well, statistically speaking, you know, most teams that get promoted get relegated the very next year.
Yeah, no, he always says the truth. He's so Dutch. But I thought it was interesting because I remember us talking about it in season one.
Yeah.
That's true. That, yep. You know, if you get promoted, you know, generally, I think it was the two of us talking about it, that it kind of just flip flops.
Yeah, like
the bottom three teams or whatever are generally like
jumping
between. Yeah.
So it cuts to the coach's office where Roy and Beard are there. And Beard said, and Roy goes, I watched it. And. Beard says, well, what did you think? And he goes, I liked it. Gene Hackman, the drunk coach.
Right.
Yeah. And he goes, but I just have one. I just don't understand one thing about it. He goes, what's that? Why is it called Hoosiers?
Right.
And of course, Hoosiers was the Gene Hackman movie about being a basketball coach in Indiana. So Ted comes in, and then a callback calls Beard Sweetie Pie.
Yeah, he goes, hey, that's right.
He goes, hey, Sweetie Pie.
So season one.
Yeah. And then he goes to Roy, what's the frequency, Roy Kenneth? And that's a reference to Dan Rather was attacked, the broadcaster Dan Rather.
Right.
In 1986, started attacking him, saying, what's the frequency? What's the frequency? And he was this nutball who thought that they were broadcasting into his head, and he needed the frequency to block their transmissions.
Oh, my goodness.
The television station.
How did he get attacked? With, like, a weapon? Or
no, just hands. Just like, hands? The guy just started beating on him.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. He pummeled and kicked him, according to the news report.
But Dan Rather was a badass. He was always in the war zone.
And Roy suggests that they use the 4-4-2 formation. He says it's not the best, you know, the most
innovative
tactic, but it's something every kid has played their whole lives.
So they think this isn't innovative, but I was curious about why he feels that, like, the players can't do anything more complicated or something. He was like, they've been doing this all their lives. Everybody's going to know where they are.
Yeah.
They know where they're supposed to be, but then that's where everybody else knows that they're going to be.
Right. But Roy...
Is he just playing it safe?
No, yeah, he's playing it safe because he doesn't feel that he has the tactical knowledge that Nate had. Yep. So then we cut to the West Ham complex where Nate is driving in. And
with his cute little green mini.
Green mini.
Vintage.
And he pulls into a parking lot full of expensive sports cars. Enter, and you see him going up the escalator, and someone coming down the opposite escalator says good morning to him, and he just ignores the person.
Yeah.
Walks into his office, sets up his computer, and immediately starts scrolling Twitter.
Right.
To see what's on Twitter about the team.
The predictions.
And And some of the things he sees is like new owner, new manager, can't lose, hammerheads all day, you know, Wonder Kid. But what was interesting in those Twitter threads is there was also pro Richmond stuff in it.
Oh.
Like there was like so proud of Coach Lasso. Come on, Greyhounds. You know, COYGH, which is come on, you Greyhounds, I think it stood for. It's the first evidence that the fans have accepted Ted.
Uh-huh.
And there are fans of him.
Right.
You know, that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah. That's cool. Because when you're scrolling, you see the memes.
Yeah.
You don't see
the other ones in between. And the other ones in between were saying, you know, positive things about AFC Richmond and Ted Lasso.
Right.
And someone comes to the door and says, oh, the Wonder Kid came. And Nate just tells him to get out.
Right.
And goes back to scrolling. So,
yeah. Because he's calling him Wonder Kid, and he hates that.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it cuts to the Keely Jones public relations, and she's got like a pink neon KJPR sign. Right. It makes it look like a radio station.
I thought it was a radio station at first, and I was like, no, they wouldn't have that. And then I realized Keely.
Yeah. And you see a large amount of flowers under that thing, which comes in later in the scene.
Mm-hmm. And a bunch of people sitting at desks, not talking.
Right. You see people sitting at desks, and Keely's on the phone in her office, and she says to someone on the phone, I don't think Ms. Welton would agree or would have any comment about how women sports owners have an unfair advantage in sports. And she hangs up the phone and says, F you, Joe Rogan.
Yeah, right.
And Joe Rogan is, of course, he used to be on news radio. He has a popular podcast that Spotify bought and made it a exclusive podcast. Keely Jones said she has a good deal. She got a good deal on The Office because the former company that was in there, the guy who owned it, was always pinching people's butts.
Right.
And she shows off, because of that, she shows off the window to her office. She can turn it opaque.
Yeah, with a button.
With a button push.
And but so Rebecca's is, like, that's pretty creepy.
Yeah, but as soon as she does it, she starts crying.
Yeah.
And she admits that she's so busy that she has to make an appointment with herself to cry.
At her desk. And now she's double booked Rebecca.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
And there's a thing that happens in that scene where her CFO comes in and says, you're spending a lot of money on flowers, and then basically says flowers are terrible and you shouldn't be spending all this money.
Yeah.
And she says that she was put there by her investment group.
Yeah.
So there's that, I think, more tension coming our way with that. So we cut to the practice pitch, and the team is doing drills and stuff. But while they're doing drills, they're all talking about being picked last. And someone says even Paddington picked them last, Paddington Bear.
Right.
And Jamie Tart says, yeah, on a scale of one marmalade sandwich to five four marmalade sandwiches, we got no marmalade sandwiches. And of course, Paddington Bear loves marmalade.
Yeah, I remember that.
So that's when Ted and Beard start saying the team's pretty distracted.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, because they're having this conversation while they're doing drills.
Right.
Yeah.
So it sounds like we need to take this practice outside stuff like that.
Have class outside.
And Roy's going like, what the hell are you talking about? And Ted calls Will over, and Will's there balancing water bottles on his knees and stuff.
Right.
While the thing is, And I love Will because he's got that classic. He does those classic English comedy lines, dry humor lines. Mm-hmm. Like when Ted asks where Kenneth is, the bus driver, and he says, "Oh, Kenneth is here. He lives here." And he goes, "Yeah, I know he works all the time." He goes, "No, he lives here at the facility."
Right.
And then he said, "Yeah, ever since his cult got shut down," and then Ted says he was in the cult. He goes, "Oh, no. No, he led a cult. He was the leader." And he goes, of course, he says, "Everybody run to the last person. Everyone run to the bus." He goes, "The last person to get to the bus has to eat a little bug. Everyone run except Roy." they all run. And Roy, of course, does not run.
No, well, because of his knee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And then we cut back to Keeley's office. Rebecca's eating a big salad. And Rebecca says she didn't cry at all the last 3 years of her marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not even at a John Lewis commercial, Christmas commercial. I didn't get that reference at all. It's a department store.
Oh.
John Lewis and Partners. And then we cut to the West Ham practice pitch where Nate is watching practice. And you see a jerk he is when he sees one player and asks him to stand on the line and says, "This is the dumb line."
Yeah, he's such a bully.
Yeah. And then this woman comes up and says, "Mr. Manion wants to see you." And then you're in Rupert's office, and Rupert's got this, of course, ridiculous office.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. The whole complex is ridiculous compared to, you know,
but the thing is, I think unlike Nelson Road, I think they're actually filming at West Ham's complex because the stands and the graphics on the pitch all look too authentic to be like a mock-up or something else.
Right.
And Rupert's gloating over Richmond's coverage.
Right.
How they're picking Richmond last.
Which, this used to be his team.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It was his baby, and he was so upset when they lost.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
And then he gets West Ham, and he too is in the gutter.
Yeah, exactly.
Just wanting to beat Rebecca or, you know, be the best. I mean, obviously he wants to win.
Right. Yeah. And you see how much of a evil influence he is on Nate, encouraging mm-hmm. Nate to be
catty
and insulting mm-hmm. and stuff. Because Nate comes up with a lot of joke when he says he's picking 20th. That Richmond was being picked 20th, and he says, because there's no 21st.
Right.
And Rupert, of course, loves that.
Yeah.
And
that's when you know there's going to be a press conference later, and he's expecting him to say nasty things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then his assistant comes in and says they're towing away the car that was in the lot. And Nate gets up and he looks out the window and sees that it's, he goes, "No, that's my car."
Right.
And like Rupert is like super shocked.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, all right.
And then he says, "You won't disappoint me, will you?" Or whatever.
Yeah. He goes, "You're a killer." He goes, he basically says that Richmond didn't know what they had, what they let go, and you're really a killer, and that's what I want, and stuff like that. So then I'm not sure where they were, the team, when they pull up on the bus for the to go in the sewer in the next scene, but they're somewhere in London. And when they leave the bus, they go to a manhole, and Ted says, he meets a guy,
right,
Ivor, and he tells the team to go down the sewer. While that's happening, two utility workers that are out on the street see them and then take pictures of it and put it on Twitter.
Right. But I love how they go, hey, is that Roy Kent? And he's like, hey, Roy Kent. And yeah, and he goes, like,
get effed.
Yeah. And they and go, goes, oh, it is.
Yeah, that's him. Then we cut to Rebecca's office where Rebecca and Leslie are sitting there talking about players, that can be transferred to the team. Rebecca sits down and opens her computer and she's going to watch the West Ham press conference. And Leslie says, why are you doing that? And she says, I have to.
Right.
You know, it's my job. And we bounce back and forth between that and down in the sewer.
Which actually I never even obviously when they're in the sewer, Ted's talking about how all the stuff that's going on up there is really just crap.
Yeah.
Right. And so I was just realizing when they did that thing in season two where Ted was remembering and Rebecca was remembering or whatever. Yeah. So I was just thinking about how their jump from that press conference where all the poop is flying.
Yeah.
To the sewer where the poop is literally flying. And then they're talking about the metaphorical poop.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah.
So Ted gives the team the speech, you know, they're down, we're like, what are we surrounded by? And Jamie goes, poop-a. And he said, yeah, but we're surrounded by a lot of poop-a up there too.
Right.
And he says that they have to develop a sewer system inside themselves to let that flow out.
Yeah, flush it away.
Yeah, flush it.
Basically.
Yeah, and he basically says, you know, if you're missing, you rely on your teammates. So the press conference, the West Ham press conference starts, and they ask Nate a question about how it's going, and he's so nervous, and he's basically quoting the lyrics to Getting to Know You from King and I.
The King and I, yeah. Getting to know the players.
Yeah.
Getting to know all about them.
So Nate ducks behind the podium because he realizes he's floundering.
Right.
Ducks behind the podium
and spits.
Well, first he flashes Jamie throwing the jersey in his face, and then the picture of him and Ted that he gave Ted
for Christmas,
and then his father looking at him disapprovingly.
Oh, I missed the father one.
Yeah, the third one was a clip of his father like holding a newspaper, looking at him, disapprovingly.
Right,
and that's when he spits. Like that's what we learned in the second season, that he basically hates himself and like he hates that part of himself.
Right.
And that is him spitting in his own face. And then he gains the confidence.
Right. That's your theory that he hates himself.
But no, not completely. I think he hates the mean person he is. I'm sorry. The other way around. He hates
He hates being bullied and that he's weaker.
He hates the weaker version of himself.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what I think he's spitting.
Right. Okay. I think it's also his way of fighting back.
Right.
I know he spit in his reflection that first time. So that's but I think it's also like when Rebecca was talking about before she goes into the meetings with all the other owners.
Right.
It's like his thing to make himself be confident.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And then he gets up and, of course, insults a reporter who does ask a snarky question of him.
Right.
And
but he's mean.
Yeah.
He's mean but back.
He's very mean. Like, over the top mean.
Yeah.
And they ask him about Richmond. And he looks at Rupert, and Rupert gives him the little yes, you know, you should say it. And he uses because there's no 21st place line.
Right.
And he looks at Rupert's happy, and then he feels happy that he did it. And so it cuts back to the team coming out of the sewer.
Okay.
It's a I like the fact that when Ted tells him, okay, let's go back up, and then Beard yells, no sudden movements around the bus driver.
Right. Did you look up toad venom?
Yeah, I did. It is a hallucinogenic drug that does only last about 20 minutes. Right. And a lot of people think that, like peyote, it expands your consciousness and stuff like that. But it's also incredibly dangerous for you as well.
I thought he was saying that because with like a toad, how they're like, their reflexes are so fast to get like flies or whatever. Yeah. So when he says no sudden movements, I'm like, is that something to do with the toad venom?
That he becomes like, a toad?
They think he's a toad or something.
Oh, man. I didn't think that.
Well, if your research didn't turn it up, I was wondering, are you going back to the press conference with Nate at all?
Yeah.
Okay.
It goes back to the press conference. That's where the phones start buzzing.
Yeah.
And it's the picture of Richmond going down into the sewer.
Right.
And they show Nate the picture and say, hey, what do you, you know, what's your comment about this? And he looks at it and on the thing, it says, the post says, WTF sewer strategy. And another one says, their season hopes down the drain. And then Rebecca also sees it. And Leslie sees it and shows Rebecca.
Right.
And Rebecca slams the computer closed.
Well, she slams it closed. Because Nate makes that comment.
That's right.
That's super mean.
Yeah. After Nate makes the comment, because they asked Nate to comment on it, and he says,
because their coach is
so crappy. Shitty.
Yeah.
And then that's when Rebecca slams the lid of the computer closed.
Right. Because it's, you know, now it's basically the instrument of Rupert. Everyone's laughing at her. Everyone's laughing at the team. It opens them up to unkind comments. Yeah.
So in the next thing, when the team gets back to the locker room, they go in the coach's office and Beard sees a story about the press conference.
Right.
And shows Ted. And it's basically, it says Wonder Kid burns Richmond.
Right.
And I freeze framed it. Because the last lines in the there's two paragraphs, and the last paragraph says, harsh words for the club and coach who raised him from obscurity as the kit man to assistant coach, where he gained his nickname Wonderkin. So they were basically, it's almost like a criticism, you know, like at the end of the article, they said, like,
yeah,
you know, it wasn't just, haha, he's making fun of the American guy.
Right.
You know, it shows that how much sympathy in the press that Ted got.
Right. But then the players are starting to get the notifications, too. Yeah. And he says, oh, man, I got to go out there. And Beard stops him.
Yeah, because they all see it and they can't believe what Nate said.
Yeah.
And yeah, exactly.
Beard is smart.
Beard is very smart. You go, when he stops him.
He goes, give it a minute or whatever. Know,
Jamie tells everyone, he says, hey, that's all poopy.
Yeah.
He goes, just let it flow.
Right.
And the team comes down and everything. And Beard, you know, Ted acknowledges that Beard was right. Hey, they took care of it themselves.
It's right.
Like, you know, what he said to him worked.
Yeah.
But Danny goes to him, just like in the sewer. And Jamie goes, bingo, El Ringo.
Yeah.
And so he's using Ted style talking.
That's right.
Then Ted gets a text from Rebecca saying, yo, I want to see you now. And he goes up there and she's like really pissed at him and said, like, you know, I found out, you know, in the press that the team was in the sewer. And he goes, did you see what? Nate said about the team, and he goes, yeah. And she goes, are you going to address it? And he said, no.
Right.
So she gets pissed and says that everyone's laughing at them and Rupert is laughing at them.
Right.
And please fight back.
Yeah. And he basically makes you think that he will do. So, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. He gets her communication.
Right.
But yeah.
But you can see that's not Ted's way.
Yeah.
Ted is not a fighter like that. He's not a confrontational fighter.
Right.
And later you find out he does fight, but in his way.
Right. So, and Keely had said, like, oh, you got to let Ted be Ted.
Yeah, she does say that.
In the lunch.
She also says, you got to let Rupert be Rupert.
Right, right.
Because Keely, you know, hey.
Yeah, she's. Just,
and that's her way of saying, let it flow.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think she's very perceptive in that way. Hey. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be able to change the way he acts.
Right.
So,
well, you can never change anybody's.
Yeah. Just behavior. let him be him and not worry about it. You know.
Yep.
And then we get to the press room where Ted's having the press conference. And this is what I noticed about the press room.
Uh-huh.
There are now, you know, the microphones in front of Ted have Premier League logos on them.
Right.
You can see them in this picture.
Right.
And
because they're in Premier League.
They never had that before.
Oh,
they
in were, the first.
The windscreens were just red and yellow. They were
in
were,
the first season.
Yeah, in first and second season.
Well, second season, they weren't in the Premier League.
Right.
They were in the Championship League.
But in this one, you got the Premier League logos on the thing. So I'm saying the Premier League is allowing them to use the logo.
Right.
And the second thing is they got a real shoe sponsor.
Nike.
He's got a Nike logo on. Nike in the background. It's not that fake shoe logo that they used to have on their uniforms.
Yep.
On their kits.
Yeah.
That I thought. I said, oh, look at this. It's like completely.
Well, Nike said, this is, everybody's talking about this show.
Yeah, I got to get in this.
Yeah.
So Ted's giving a press conference and he gets asked about them being picked 20th.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, we got 38 chances to prove them wrong.
Right.
And another interesting thing is Marcus gets up and says, Marcus Abayao, the independent.
Right.
And everyone goes, ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now he works for the independent.
But what was funny, too, was that Ted goes, Marcus, and he gets up and he gives the, even though he knows who he is.
He does the Trent Crim thing.
Yeah.
And Ted congratulates him on the new gig.
Yeah.
I wonder if we're going to see
Trent Crim
sometime. I'd be disappointed if we didn't.
I know. He's a good character.
And he asked about Nate's comments. And Ted says, yeah, I'd like to address him. And then he compliments Nate.
Right.
He said, he sure got us good. He goes, and he was always like that. He, you know, on the pitch, he said, finding the weakness in the team and attacking it. And he said, West Ham's lucky to have him. Like, really. And Rebecca at that point is getting, you can see in her face,
she's so
very mad and disappointed.
Right.
And then Ted says, but you know what? He goes, I'm kind of, you know, basically, he says, I'm surprised that he went for such, that he didn't go for more like low hanging fruit. Like there wasn't one joke about being a stupid American or, you know.
Right.
And then he starts going off and he's
picking
on himself. And he's telling jokes in the style of Johnny Carson, you know, where it's like, oh, he's so dumb. How dumb are you? And he goes, I'm so dumb. And then he wins everybody back.
Yeah, he's so disarming.
And And Rebecca smiles. Because she gets the text from Keeley.
Yeah. That says, way to let Ted be Ted.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's the way to handle that. Not to fight back directly.
Right.
But, and then you see Nate was watching the press conference. And then he picks up his phone and he's looking at Twitter. And it's a whole bunch of good coverage of Ted. Ted Classo is one meme. Another one says Ted Lasso's absolutely killing it. And funny as money.
Right.
And stuff like that.
Right.
And he slams his computer down like Rebecca slammed her computer closed.
Right.
That, you know, Ted got the better of him.
Yeah.
And then he gets a text that his mom from his mom saying, oh, I saw you on the telly. And he kind of half smiles at that point.
Right.
But then the next comment is, but your father was upset that you swore on.
Right. Because he said that Ted was shitty.
Yeah. Yeah. And he said, but he'll get over it. And you can see that kind of
makes him feel a little better. And that's when.
No. I mean, that comment crushed him more.
Oh, that his mother said he would get over it?
No, that his mother said that his father was upset.
Yeah. Yeah. But I thought that when she said, but he'll get over it, I thought he was just like, resigned.
I think it was just another.
Yeah.
Yeah. Slight from his father that he projects also on Ted.
Right.
Because he sees Ted as his second father, and he's not getting the attention that he thinks he should have gotten.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're looking at me like you don't agree with that. So tell me what you think.
No, I just have a slightly different interpretation, I think.
What's your interpretation?
So I agree with you that he gets that thing from his father. His father's just still putting him down. He's mentally abusive.
Yeah.
And he's being bullied.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand this thing of why he's turning on Ted.
Right.
Right. That he thinks he's so great. And now Ted is shitty. Right. What the reporters are saying is definitely right.
Yeah.
You know, that he's burning those bridges. Right. So I don't understand why he would be projecting that onto Ted, because Ted never bullied him. Right. So that's the part I don't understand. It's not that I don't agree with you, because maybe you're right. And psychologically, father, son dynamics, blah, blah. Right. That whole box that I don't know what's going on for him, but I don't understand why. I mean, he's lashing out at Ted in Richmond and everything because that's how he can be successful. But I don't know if it's, I mean, he's just this wounded thing. I guess because Ted did slight him, but I just don't understand why he's so angry at Ted.
Right.
And so maybe it is this transference that you're talking about, projection. Like that this is like a father figure, but I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all. So my look was that, we'll see what happens and how it shakes out. Because I'm hoping that this will be something that gets resolved.
Remember, he also has the devil on his shoulder.
Rupert.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's encouraging him.
Yeah. Well, totally.
To act that way.
Right. Right.
You know, so that influences.
Right. Because the meaner he is, the more he gets Rupert's approval. Because, and speaking of.
Exactly. The assistant comes in and says, there's a package for you. It's from Mr. Mannion. And it turns out to be the key fobs to a car.
Right.
And he goes out, and it's an Aston Martin DBX, I think it is. And it starts at $336,000.
Holy moly. Car. That's crazy.
And it's the evil devil on his shoulder.
Yeah, you know, and overlooking him.
Rewarding him. You know, looking down and rewarding him for his evil behavior.
Right.
And he goes driving off in his new super expensive sports car.
Right.
And we're at Keeley's house where Phoebe is eating ice cream.
before dinner.
And she says she's finished, and her and Roy look at each other and then go over to the table to talk to her. And Phoebe is so perceptive, and she says, either, you know, ice cream for dinner, you know, either I did something very good or you did something very bad.
Right.
And Keeley says that they are going to have, and she said, go on a break. Roy says
breaking up.
And she looks at him, you know, when he says that. And Phoebe asks why, you know, basically.
Well, first she says, which one is it? And he says, Roy says breaking up.
Yeah.
And then she says, why? And they're like, busy. We're busy.
Yeah, we're busy. And she said, well, you were busy before. So why? You know, like,
yeah.
And, you know, the more questions she asks, very simple probing questions.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows how much they haven't completely thought about what they're doing.
Well, and it also shows how adults complicate everything.
Right.
And children cut through that very quickly because they don't have a lot of baggage.
Yeah.
And they can see things that, that you know, they aren't telling themselves that it's one way when it's another.
Right.
You know, and so I thought that was really interesting too.
And she also says, you know, it makes sense. Because you were only together for a year, and most relationships can't handle one career change, let alone two.
Right.
And so another very adult
thing
to perceive.
Well, and also her thing saying about how her own parents broke up.
Yeah.
And so her core belief is that nothing's ever going to last.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
right.
So, and that's like perceptive and heartbreaking at the same time.
Yeah.
That she's so young and yet her core value, her, you know, she's already molded by that one very, you know, momentous decision of her parents to split up.
And then they're in the car, her and Roy together. Mm-hmm. And she says, are you sure you're doing the right thing? And he sincerely says, I don't know.
Yeah.
Not like mean.
Right.
Just like.
Yeah. Contemplative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she says, could I use a bad word? And I think she, you know, I thought she was going to use a real bad word.
Yeah.
She says, I think you're being stupid.
Right. But that is a really bad word.
Yeah. I understand that. But I also understand that she seems to be the most adult in that relationship.
Yeah.
of the relationship between the three.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry. Yeah.
So then we see Beard and Ted walking down the area where they both live.
Yeah.
And Beard says, is something on your mind?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, yeah, I've been just wondering, you know, I understand why we came out here. He said, I just don't understand why I'm still here. Because he came out here to give Michelle space and to be far, you know, further away from her. But after they broke up, why is he still there?
Right.
And Beard doesn't answer him. And Beard just says, are we having a beer?
Right.
And he goes, no, I want to call Henry. Why? He goes, because we've pest your apartment already.
Right.
And he goes, oh, and he said, okay, good night. See you tomorrow. And then he's FaceTiming with Henry. And he says, you didn't want to look at anybody else's screen, did you? And he says, yeah, I watched The Exorcist. And Ted got us. And Henry says, oh, I'm only kidding. Exorcist, of course, in the 1973 movie.
It's 1973. Mm. But he also makes a joke. Okay. Well, I can't remember. That's fine.
Well, he says, "Hey, I put your Premier League trophy down in the on the Lego set with Nelson Road Stadium," and Henry says, "Why is Nate off to the side?" And he said, "Well, he's not on the team anymore." He says, "But that doesn't mean you can't still be friends, right?" And he goes, "You're right." And he grabs Nate and he puts him right next to himself. He doesn't put him at the end of the line.
Right.
He puts him right next to Ted.
Yeah.
And I think that's a harbinger. That's where Nate's going to end up.
End up. Yeah, probably.
And that's when...
Henry talks about
he has an infinity gauntlet on from Marvel Thanos infinity gauntlet, and he says Jake gave it to me, and Ted says, "Oh, that's great. Who's Jake?" And he goes, "Oh, mommy's friend."
Right.
And that hits Ted like a ton of bricks. It's like that Michelle is seeing somebody else.
Yep.
And
she's moving on,
not just that Michelle is seeing someone else, that Henry is going to have a relationship with another person that not him, that he's not going to be, he's not being there.
Right. So that's going to be, so it was interesting too, because he had asked Dr. Sharon, "I don't know what I'm still doing here." And she said, "It's because you don't quit, Ted," talking about what they came at. From his last therapy sessions last season. And then what Rebecca was saying to him is, "I want the Ted who told me we're going to win the whole dang thing."
Right.
Right. And so he's lost that belief, or that false hope, or whatever it was. His optimism has taken a hit.
Exactly.
Because
everyone... Even Henry says it to him.
"Yeah, you're going to win the whole thing."
Yeah, he goes, "You understand what..." He says that to him. He goes, you understand why I'm here, right?"
Yeah.
Not so much...
"Why I'm not with you. Why I'm not going back with you."
He's not just asking Henry, "Do you understand why I'm here? Do you understand my motivation?" He's asking Henry to tell him what his motivation is.
Right.
You know, it's like... "You understand. Tell me why I'm here."
Right. Well, because he wants to be in two places at once. Right. It's like
And Henry says to win it all. And he says, "Oh, yeah, but it would be really tough to do that." And he said, and Henry goes, "Yeah, but you got to try." Right.
Right.
And so everyone is telling Ted to be Ted.
Right. And Ted's having trouble being Ted. Yeah. Yeah, because remember, too, in season one, when he's talking to Rebecca about, "Oh, you know, Michelle and I are having problems." And he makes that comment about, like, "Oh, my constant optimism is so tiring," or, exhausting, or whatever it was. But something about his constant optimism. And he was not showing his constant optimism.
Right.
He was still being a good coach. Taking them to the sewer, talking about the poupe, disarming the reporters with the humor, you know, taking the high road with Nate. And, all that was still quintessential Ted, but he's lost the constant optimism.
Yeah. He lost his edge.
Yeah.
That was his edge.
Yeah.
Was his constant. That's what made him win. Mm-hmm. That's what made him win people over.
Right.
And he's having a crisis of confidence.
Yep.
And I want to jump back to the scene with Phoebe, Kelly, Keeley, and Roy. When he says that comment about, "Now they expect me to come up with tactics stuff like that." And Keeley says, "I know you're worried about that." You know, they fell into their pattern.
Yeah.
But also that his crisis.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, he's worried he can't do the job.
He was
using Nate as a crutch.
Right.
Right? He was a coach and he was good at some aspects of coaching.
Right.
But they were all relying on Nate and his genius.
Right.
To help them. And now he feels like he can't measure up.
Yeah, exactly. So you got that crisis. You got Keeley's crisis going on. You got Rebecca's crisis.
Yeah, where she's like just wants to beat Rupert instead of being, because last season she was so supportive and open and right, like whatever happens, it was gonna be good, and they won,
right?
So yeah, so she's having that crisis. I don't think.
So far, Higgins and...
Yeah, Higgins has no crisis. Beard has no crisis.
And Beard has no crisis.
Yeah.
Everybody else does.
Right, and we don't know about Jamie, if he has a crisis.
Yeah, Jamie...
Jamie was having a crisis last obviously, a couple.
Yeah,
still being in love with Keeley and his dad, dealing with his dad. But yeah, those are right now. But
Jamie
now,
has not lost confidence at all because that one line he tells everyone they don't have to anything to worry about because they got him.
Yeah. Exactly. So funny. But it was so funny because when he said that, I was like, huh. Like I had like a disappointment that he said that because I thought, oh, he hasn't really grown out of that, like me.
Yeah.
Right. There's still a vestige of that. And maybe you don't want him to lose it. But when he delivered that line, I was like, ugh.
But in this case, he does it more playfully.
Yeah. Yeah. It was more of a joke.
Yeah.
And not, he was definitely less arrogant about it.
What in this episode what was missing in this episode? That's usually in every episode.
Well, he gave her the biscuits.
Biscuits.
Oh. And she ate the biscuit during the press.
Not only her. Higgins was also eating the biscuit.
She can't eat all those biscuits every day.
Meow. And Nate made that comment to the reporter. Right. And he goes, meow. And he takes a bite of the biscuit.
Right. Let's see. The new Rebecca wasn't in there. Yeah. But what?
The pub.
Oh, well, they mentioned going for a beer.
Yeah, but the pub and Jeremy, Bess, and Paul.
Yeah, they weren't there
yet. And we're not in this episode.
No. No.
Yep. So overall, what'd you think?
I thought it was, it was obviously just setting a lot of things up, too.
It's a very big setup episode.
Yeah, so I felt like it wasn't my favorite because it's still setting it up. There were a couple of lines that were kind of clunkers, a little bit disappointed. Like it wasn't as funny or it was too obvious that it was coming. But I felt like story-wise, it really laid a really good foundation. It's just we're in that morass.
Yeah.
That we're in the crisis that they're in. And so there's not a lot to uplift or, you know, be laughing about or happy about or right. Yeah. Cause we're still in the soup with them as they're trying to figure out what's, you know, they aren't happy and why aren't they happy and what's going on and what am I here for and that kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah. I felt kind of the same that I liked it. And I thought it was funny, for the most part, but it was a very setup heavy episode. And I understand that, especially if this is going to be the last season, they're going to try to pack as much in there as possible. Right. And I just hope they don't do it to the detriment of the show. Because it reminded me of the final episode of Seinfeld where just... my fear that not this didn't remind me of it. The final episode of Seinfeld where they tried to jam pack every
popular character
and storyline that was in the show. And it kind of gave the characters a backseat to that situation. And I hope they don't try to, you know, stick too much.
Right.
And
although putting the characters in the backseat is not a, not the problem here.
Right.
Because they're definitely in the front seat.
Yeah. But I'm worried that I don't want them to get too ambitious.
Mm-hmm.
But I have trust and confidence in them. Yeah. And then the producers, not Jason Sudeikis, but Brett Goldstein, and who's the other producer? I'm forgetting his name. Produced Scrubs and all those.
Right.
Bill Lawrence. Both produce Shrinking, another Apple TV Plus show that's also excellent and funny. So, right. So I'm going to have to trust.
Yeah, I'm going to trust them.
Them all.
You know, it's the setup. It's the setup episode. So, yeah. And I'm fully expecting the first couple, 2-3, to be, you know, heavier.
Right.
You know, as they're setting this up and they're in this. Three
episodes.
Yeah.
Like they did in, because the first season they dropped three. The second season they didn't, but the producers, the creators, thought they were going to. So they set up three episodes as an arc.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, I wonder if they didn't do that, that this is just going to play out.
Right.
One by one.
Right. We'll see.
Right. And the one thing I didn't expect in the episode, I expected Nate, of course, and I expected the Keeley and Roy thing.
Right, because they were setting that up
at the end of the second season. I wasn't expecting this existential crisis from Ted.
Right.
This, why am I here?
Well, but you kind of predicted that it was going to be Ted's year.
Right.
Right.
But I wasn't expecting this Ted.
Right.
You know, this Ted that, like we were just talking about, that is not acting Ted-like.
Right.
Like last year there was a reason, you know, the reason was he's dealing with his feelings about his father's suicide.
Right.
And abandoning Henry. And this,
well, is also
part of that, but yeah. I wasn't expecting Ted to come like right out in the first episode and say why.
Yeah, why am I here? And asking everyone.
Yeah.
Please tell me why I'm here. Yep. Yeah. So. Well, there was also nothing with Sam.
Nothing with the team itself much at all that. Other than them being a team,
yeah, gelling and all talking to each other and stuff like that,
right?
And that was the thing I was gonna say that makes me nervous, because when they were talking about we need to get some fresh blood on the team, and he's like, no, everybody's kind of gelling, and he's got the two aces now, right? With Jamie and Danny, and that it didn't hit me until. Higgins came in and said, I have the transfer sheet, which it finally dawned on me that if they're going to bring in some fresh blood, they're going to transfer some other players.
Yeah.
And that's going to mess up Ted's chemistry.
Right.
And so I'm worried about that because of what happened when she got rid of Jamie and what I mean? Yeah. So, I mean, Ted's a great coach and I should trust him, but having the crisis of conscience and then having him say, no, I think this is good. And having them still looking at players they can transfer. It makes me nervous that Rebecca's desire to beat Rupert will trump her trust in Ted and she'll end up transferring, you know, players who are really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my fear. Yep. So that's what I think. Well, that's pretty much everything. I think you squeezed that towel dry. I don't think we can get any more moisture out of that.
Well, the Lasso Personal Dilemma Squad can be found at damshow.co. That's damshow.co. Right. Not .com, .co.
Yep. And you can send us an email.
That's where you'll find our back episodes as
well. Back episodes are all there. You could send us an email at dilemmasquad1.
Yep, that is correct. Been a while since you said that.
At gmail.com. So if you have thoughts that you want to share about the show, and you could always leave a review. True.
Yep. Leave a review at
rate us.
Apple Podcast or Podchaser. You can leave a review. 5 stars, please.
That's right. A good review. Like when you're asking, would you give me a good reference? Yeah. Would you leave us a good review? Anyway, so feel free to do that. And of course, we'll be back next week with another episode after we watch episode 2. Well, stay tuned for more insights into the next episode. And in the meantime, we recommend shrinking.
Yes.
When you're waiting for the next Ted Lasso to drop. So I don't know what we say, but hey.
You don't know what we say? We say goodbye.
Have a jolly good week.
Richmond on 12.
Yeah.